Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text number 38. Now, yeah, we do that right after the Guru Puja. Nakahi chin mat parat shanta rupe. Nam shyanti no me nimisho lady heti. Yesha maham priya atma sutascha. Saka guru surido daivam ishta. Not. Kahichit. Ever. Mat paraha. My devotees. Shanta rupe. O mother. Namshyanti will lose. No, not. May.
My.
Animishaha.
Time.
Lady destroys. Hetihi. Yesha. Weapon. Yesham. Of whom? Aham.
I.
Priyaha.
Dear.
Atma.
Self.
Sutaha.
Son.
Cha.
And.
Sakha.
Friend.
Guru.
Preceptor.
Suridaha.
Benefactor.
Daivam.
Ishtam.
I'm sorry. Daivam.
Deity.
Ishtam.
Chosen.
Question, what form is lady?
Lady. I think if it's verbal.
Yeah. Of what?
Of what?
What's the dhatu?
I think it's lik dhatu and it's present.
Vartamani left. Lik dhatu. Lady. Is Adadi personalized?
I think so.
Adadi. Lady.
Yeah. Time doesn't lik.
Okay, we won't get into why it's cerebral. You know, that's grammar class.
Oh, yeah.
Of lik. And Isurida. Not in singular, is Suri does an alternate form of Suri? Or is it actually plural form?
Suri
But Suri is ta'anta. Suri da bahuvachana bhavet. Atava Suri da rupam api apiasti?
I think Suri Fred is the original word.
Right, there's no word Suri da.
No.
Okay, so it's plural. Okay. Translation of Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord continued, "My dear mother, devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor the change of time can destroy such opulences. Because the devotees accept me as their friend, their relative, their son, preceptor, benefactor, and superior deity, they cannot be deprived of their possessions at any time." Purport. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that one may elevate himself to the higher planetary systems, even up to Brahmaloka, by dint of pious activities. But when the effects of such pious activities are finished, one again comes back to this earth to begin a new life of activities. Thus, even though one is promoted to the higher planetary systems for enjoyment and a long duration of life, still that is not a permanent settlement. But as far as the devotees are concerned, their assets
the achievement of devotional service and the consequent opulence of Vaikuntha, even on this planet, are never destroyed. In this verse, Kapiladeva addresses his mother as Shantarupa, indicating that the opulences of devotees are fixed because devotees are eternally fixed in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, which is called Shantarupa because it is in the mode of pure goodness, undisturbed by the modes of passion and ignorance. Once one is fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, his position of transcendental service cannot be destroyed, and the pleasure and service simply increase unlimitedly. For the devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no illusion of time. No influence of time. In the material world, the influence of time destroys everything. But in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of time or of the demigods, because there are no demigods in the Vaikuntha planets. Here our activities are controlled by different demigods. Even if we want to move our hand and leg, the action is controlled by the demigods. But in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, there is no influence of the demigods or of time. Therefore, there is no question of destruction. When the time element is present, there is certainty of destruction. But when there is no time element, past, present, or future, then everything is eternal. Therefore, this verse uses the words nanam shyanti, indicating that the transcendental opulences will never be destroyed. Okay, I'm saving the rest of the purport. I'm going to read a little bit. I'm going to speak a little bit, then read the rest. The assets of the pure devotees who are living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, they may be Vaikuntha residents. They may be residents of Krishna's other abodes that are even above Vaikuntha, like Mathura, Ayodhya, and the most secret abode, Goloka. That's all Vaikuntha atmospheres. The spirit, my father would like to call, I think from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's coining, the spiritual sky. Very nice phrase. Incense Company has been founded with that name. Gauranga Muni has taken over the name for his company. It's spiritual sky. It's that place where there's no limitation, no anxiety, no kunta, and no influence of time and no demigods. I guess if there's no demigods, then there's also no teachers, no bureaucrats, no bosses in the material sense. The place where everyone is free. Even though there is a hierarchy, and devotees consider themselves servants of other devotees, but there's no unfair exploitation, there's no unfair taking of profit by capitalists, or there's no revolutions to overthrow the capitalists. Nothing like that is going on in Vaikuntha. And nobody's assets are taken away from them. We can work very hard to make a lot of money, but then the government will take a percentage of it away in taxes. In India, people manage not to pay taxes, and they don't get services. You know, nobody fixes the roads. You know, when your house is on fire, there's no fire department to come and put out the fire, because nobody pays taxes. You know, that's what you want, that's what you get. In other places, in France, 65% of your income is taken away. 70% is taken away by the government. But you get social medicine, you get free education, free medicine, and they fix the roads. But you lose a lot of your money just in taxes. And then, you know, pay the rent, I don't know how, 30% more, you know, you're left with very little, you know. And in some places, people who work hard after paying their taxes and paying their rent don't really have enough money to buy food, even. What is the leftover money for luxury? So your assets get taken away. Even if you're John Rockefeller with billions of dollars, it's taken away from you. When you die, you can't take it with you. You can put it in a trust account, and you can, you know, build libraries and universities, but you can't take the money with you. And you've got to start over again. You may be sent into a cockroach body in your next life, and your 1 billion assets in a Swiss bank account won't be accessible. So, in the material world, our assets are always depleted. Inevitably. It's a rule. Absolute rule. Whatever you got is going to be taken away from you. Yoga Kshema Vahanyaham. That's for the devotees. But for the non-devotees, there is no insurance. There's no way to protect. Kshema is rakshanam, protection of what you have. Yoga and Kshema. Yoga means to acquire what you don't have. People are struggling for that. To make money, to get possessions, to conquer kingdoms. But then you have your kingdom. You have your big bank account. The problem now is not to lose it, to hold on to it. You got a kingdom, and now your incompetent sons have got to manage it in the next generation. And you can expect that they're not going to rule it like you did, and then someone's going to come and conquer it from them. And your money in the bank also will be depleted. You can't keep it. So the shame is a problem. The security and keeping. And you can buy insurance from the, you know, the insurance company of India, whose slogan is Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham, but they can't do it like Krishna does it. Your material assets can't be secured, cannot be secured. They will, all of them, be taken away from you. If not now, then gradually, and at the time of death, it's all taken away. You may take some karma with you to the next life, but you have to start your business all over again. You may have your business propensities. You may take them in your subtle body to your next life. But your business and your bank account and your family, your education, everything has to be started again from the beginning. Just like the Indian residents in some African countries like Uganda, they were kicked out by a tyrannical government. Rich people who worked hard all their lives, and their fathers worked hard, and they became rich. And then this idiot, kicked them all out and took all their property.
He ate some of them.
Yeah. Well, those are even worse things to them. Hare Krishna. That if they got out alive, they got out alive with empty pockets. They had to go to England or somewhere and start their lives all over again. But that, Eddie Eamon, is just, you know, a wonderful example of what Maya does to us. It does it to everybody. We're being all devoured by Krishna's universal form. And everything we've got is taken away. But not those who live in the Vaikuntha atmosphere. They don't lose their assets. But you have to understand, if you want to live in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, you have to understand that these are not your assets. This money, this wife and husband, children, your country, yasyatmabhuti kunate, somebody, you're an ass. If you think that this body is you, kunape tridatuke, kunapa is what? A corpse. Kunapa shava, right? This shava, dead body. And it's not even a nicely made dead body. You can make a doll out of you know, soft, nice material, but we have bodies made of ugly materials. Kapha, vayu, and pitta. You wouldn't want to, you know, smell them or see them or touch them if they were in their raw state. But wrap them up in a nice bag of skin in the form of the opposite sex. You want to embrace it. A dead bag of bones, blood, and hair, and everything else. And you think that's me. You want to identify with that. You want to spend a whole lifetime living in that bag. And then, swadik kalatradishu, and your wife, and the others, the children, your pet dog, your next door neighbor, and the other people you know, your employees, employers, friends, countrymen, they're yours. And by implication, the outsiders, they're paradeshis, they're dweshis, they're enemies. Maybe they're neutral, maybe they're friendly, but they're outsiders. And only my family, my country, they're mine. That's another mark of an ass. Boma Ijidika, you think this land is, the earth is worshipable, but why not the whole earth? Why not the whole universe is Krishna's energy? Why only this piece of earth? You live in Costa Rica, or you live in Estonia, where there's only 600,000 people, and you can walk across the country in a few hours, and you think that's the only worshipable place on earth, and you'll die for the flag. So this is another sign of an ass. Yatirtha Buddhi, and you may be a pious Hindu, and you go to every chance you get, you go to the Tirthas and take a snan and have some refreshments, and turn off the loudspeakers as loud as you can, and this is your religious life. Yatirtha Buddhi, you think that this taking a bath is the sum and substance of this excursion to the holy place. But you don't understand that the real purpose of going to the holy place is to get association of Vaishnavas. The real self is Vishnu. The real family and friends are the Vaishnavas. And the real worshipable object is the Vaishnavas. So that Janesha Vigeshu, according to Bhakti Yotoka, doesn't just apply to the last phrase, but to all the phrases. Yourself, your own, your worshipable object, and the holy place. They should all be identified with the Vaishnavas. That's the difference between living in the Vaikuntha atmosphere and living in the material atmosphere. It's not just a matter of physical location. You can be residing in Vaikuntha, or you can be residing in New Jersey, which is hell, if you haven't been there. Only place on, not maybe not the only place on earth, but I mean it's a place where people punctuate every sentence with obscenities, and it's not surprising because the whole environment is obscene and disgusting. So such places, you can be living in such a place, and still for you it can be the Vaikuntha atmosphere if you have the Vaikuntha consciousness. I'm identifying everything with the service of Krishna and his devotees. Then your assets, you will understand what your real assets are. Jesus said, understand, our kingdom is not of this world. We have a kingdom, we have a treasure, but it's not of this world. The taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, this is an asset worth more than all the money in the world. To be able to be allowed to step foot or to roll in the dust of Sri Vrindavan Dham or Navadvip Dham, Sri Purushottama Kshetra. Not to buy a plot and think you're the Malik. That's not how to worship the land of the holy Dham of the Lord, by buying a piece of it for yourself and building your house. But you can do that too, if that's part of your service. Even Raghunath Das finally accepted a Bhajan Kutir. Your disciples may insist that you have to have a place to stay. But otherwise, it shouldn't be our interest to own the holy Dham. We should take that dust and smear it on our heads and understand that every single particle of dust of Krishna's abode is more valuable than all the gold bullion in all the banks in the world. And how do I dare to think I can buy a plot in that holy dome? That's the Vaikuntha consciousness. And then, if you understand what your real assets are, the pleasure of, that you can please the Vaishnavas, that you can be granted the taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, that's the most valuable thing. That's the asset, and that cannot be taken away from you. So let me read the rest of the purport. Prabhupada says, the reason for freedom from destruction is also described. The devotees accept the Supreme Lord as the most dear personality and reciprocate with him in different relationships. They accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the dearmost friend, the dearmost relative, the dearmost son, the dearmost preceptor, the dearmost well-wisher, or the dearmost deity. The Lord is eternal. Therefore, any relationship in which we accept him is also eternal. It is clearly confirmed herein that the relationships cannot be destroyed, and therefore the opulences of those relationships are never destroyed. Every living entity has the propensity to love someone. We can see that if someone has no object of love, he generally directs his love to a pet animal, like a cat or a dog. Thus, the eternal propensity for love in all living entities is always searching for a place to reside. From this verse, we can learn that we can love the Supreme Personality of Godhead as our dearmost object, as a friend, as a son, as a preceptor, or as a well-wisher. And there will be no cheating and no end to such love. We shall eternally enjoy the relationship with the Lord in different aspects. A special feature of this verse is the acceptance of the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Preceptor. Bhagavad Gita was spoken directly by the Supreme Lord, and Arjuna accepted Krishna as Guru, or spiritual master. Similarly, we should accept only Krishna as the Supreme Spiritual Master. Krishna, of course, means Krishna and his confidential devotees. Krishna is not alone. When we speak of Krishna, Krishna means Krishna in his name, in his form, in his qualities, in his abodes, and his associates. Krishna is never alone, for the devotees of Krishna are not impersonalists. For example, a king is always associated with his secretary, his commander, his servant, and so much paraphernalia. As soon as we accept Krishna and his associates as our preceptors, no ill effect can destroy our knowledge. In the material world, the knowledge which we acquire may change because of the influence of time. But nevertheless, the conclusions received from the Bhagavad Gita, directly from the speeches of the Supreme Lord Krishna, can never change. There is no use interpreting Bhagavad Gita. It is eternal. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, should be accepted as one's best friend. He will never cheat. He will always give his friendly advice and friendly protection to the devotee. If Krishna is accepted as son, he will never die. Here we have a very loving son or child that the father and mother, or those who are affectionate toward him, always hope, may my son not die. But Krishna actually will never die. Therefore, those who accept Krishna or the Supreme Lord as their son will never be bereft of their son. In many instances, devotees have accepted the Lord as their son. In Bengal, there are many such instances. Even after the death of the devotee, the deity performs the Shraddha ceremony for the father. That was
Govindakosh.
The deity. His deity's name?
His deity is Gopinath.
Who's his son?
Mukunda.
Okay. Why did the son?
His son is Govinda. Deity is Gopinath,
and the son is
Govinda Ghosh.
And the son is Mukund. The
son is Raghunanda.
Raghunanda. Yeah, but okay, there was another episode where Lord Chaitanya asked Raghunanda, or asked Mukunda, you know, you're supposed to be his father, but is that is it the other way around?
That
involved
Govinda
Ghosh?
That was
Mukunda
and Raghunanda.
Yeah. I mean, Raghunanda is Mukunda's son.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that doesn't apply.
The different
Mukunda.
Okay.
Different
Govinda.
Yeah, because they were from Srikanda, but wasn't Govinda Ghosh also from Srikanda?
I don't know.
Okay, that's off the track. The deity performed the Shraddha ceremony for the father. Prabhupada continues, the relationship is never destroyed. People are accustomed to worship different forms of demigods, but in Bhagavad Gita such a mentality is condemned. Therefore one should be intelligent enough to worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his different forms such as Lakshmi Narayana, Sitaram and Radha Krishna. Thus one will never be cheated. By worshipping the demigods one may elevate himself to the higher planets. But during the dissolution of the material world, the deity and the abode of the deity will be destroyed. But one who worships the Supreme Personality of God is promoted to the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no influence of time, destruction, or annihilation. The conclusion is that the time influence cannot act upon devotees who have accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as everything. There's no time in Vaikuntha and Jagatam Yishkutonu Deva Jagatam. The Yatrakalo Jagatam Parak Prabhu Kutonu Deva Jagatam Yishide. This is Sutta Goswami, Shukadeva Goswami speaking in chapter 2 of the second canto. In that place Vaikuntha there is no influence of time and also no demigods who control the worlds. The world, the spiritual world is controlled by Krishna's Swarup Shakti, his internal energy. And there is that expansion of that Swarup Shakti is the power of his Leela, Yoga Maya. And controlling, but without any use of the material influence of time. So who is able to rise to this Vaikuntha consciousness? Those who get the ultimate asset of rasa, who revive their intimate loving relationship with Krishna. In our sampradaya we recognize that our rasa, our sthayi bhava, is fixed. We have a swarup. An eternal identity that does not change. And that swarup is a certain relationship with Krishna. It may be a mixture of more than one rasa, but it's fixed. And we may develop it, we may realize it gradually through stages, because the higher rasas contain all the elements of each lower rasa. So to learn how to be a Vatsalya Bhakta, you may first practice as a Dasa Bhakta and a Sakya Bhakta, a friend, first a servant, then a friend, and then a parent, because servitude is the common denominator of all the loving relationships. Everybody's Krishna's servant, and those who are in those rasas beginning with Dasya, they fully realize that. And you have to become more and more intimate than a servant to rise above that to the even more higher rasas, Sakya Rasa. But you have to be as intimate as a friend and more to be a parent. So you learn, you can learn first the Dasya Rasa, then the Sakya Rasa, then the Vatsalya Rasa, and then maybe you can go through each stage. Don't have to, but you can. And you can experience living in these different bodies of different kinds of devotees. But when you get to your ultimate rasa, what you really are eternally, then you don't go further. You develop continually in that rasa, but you don't move to a different one after that. And maybe there's some controversy in this. Some devotees may say that you can change your rasa. There may be some hint in the book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that, you know, the residents of Vaikuntha can all be promoted to Goloka, that everybody belongs in Goloka. But I don't think that contradicts the basic principle that your rasa is fixed. You can change within your rasa, but you don't change. You can develop further within your rasa. There's no limit to the development of prema and the evolution of rasa. But once you get the flavor that your rasa is, that doesn't change. You can make strawberry a strawberry, but you can make cheap strawberry ice cream, and you can make really good strawberry ice cream. It can always be improved. You can taste more and more actually like strawberry. So like that, your rasa can always be improved, but you're not going to jump. If you're eternally strawberry, you're not going to jump to chocolate. So
How do you say that in Sanskrit?
Strawberry? I don't even know how you say strawberry. Okay. Anyway, the rasas are identified here. Yeshamaham priya atma sutascha saka guru. Although some of these are not normal sthayi bhavas, some of it's going the other way around. Normally the devotee is the object of love, and Krishna is the loved. The devotee is the ashraya of love, and Krishna is the vishaya. This comes from grammar that Adhikaranam has. Location can be the place where you reside, you know, where you normally are, and then when you do some activity, you're extending out to some other location. Suppose you're seeing. So I'm situated here, sitting on the floor, but I'm looking at the light bulb on the other side of the room. So the act of seeing, the ashraya of that act of seeing, is my eyeball and me sitting on the floor. And the vishaya is the other side of the room, that other wall. So they're two different locations. And bhakti is also an activity. And in the same terminology, the same analysis, the place where the bhakti starts, the origin point of the activity, is the devotee, the ashraya. And where that activity extends to is the object of love, Krishna, in one of his forms. The vishaya. Krishna is the vishaya normally, and the devotee is the ashraya. But suppose you have a reversed relationship, where you are the son of Krishna. Well, there is no sonhood, rasa. There's rasa of vatsalya. But it's not one of the rasas to be Krishna's son, or to be Krishna's disciple. Similar, you know. Son by blood relationship or son by discipleship, same basic relationship, son or disciple. It's not one of the rasas to be a son or disciple. And that, because there, normally, the higher rasas, the devotees become, Krishna becomes dependent on the devotee. But here, the devotee is totally dependent on Krishna. That's not a loving relationship in itself. To be dependent on Krishna, that's what everybody is anyway. And if it's a relationship, it has to be identified basically as dasya. So generally, those who are in the role of Krishna's sons or disciples, the rasa they're functioning in, what rasa that's a manifestation of, is basically dasya. So Arjuna is very much a friend of Krishna. His sthayi bhava is to be Krishna's friend. Very close friend. One of Krishna's closest friends. The kind of friend that, you know, doesn't stick to formalities. You can be joking and very loose with someone who's your closest friend. And Arjuna was like that. Very much sakya. But there's some mixture of dasya in his relationship. And when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to him, then that dasya became prominent temporarily. But that's not Arjuna's regular relationship with Krishna. It's for the duration of the Gita. Then they went back to being friends after that. Although something changed after that. Krishna, you know, Arjuna, having received Krishna's instruction, he's eternally Krishna's disciple. So he has two rasas, and they're both sthayi bhavas, they're both permanent. But the sakyam is prominent, and being the servant. So this being Krishna's disciple, that has to count as, be understood as dasya, servitude. Or being Krishna's son, like Krishna's own children, Pradyumna and all his other sons. They're first of all in the dasya relationship, maybe with some mixture of something else. But the general qualification for being in the Vaikuntha atmosphere of Vaikuntha consciousness is to have this rasa, to have developed your intimate loving relationship with Krishna. If you haven't done that, then you cannot claim that your assets are eternal or that you actually are situated in the perfect consciousness and the perfect atmosphere. We're still in material consciousness until we attain prema. So that's the work set out for us, is to attain prema, or rasa. That's the goal of devotional service. I think we can agree on that the goal of our practice is to achieve rasa. Everything else is secondary. We can go to this Vaikuntha place or not. But if we don't get, if, what we really need is rasa. We need to establish our loving relationship with Krishna. Okay, so any questions this time?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So the first, that there's no demigods there in the spiritual world.
Yes.
But now we hear that there are demigods in the spiritual
world. There's devotees acting like demigods. It's in Brihad Bhagavatam, it's described how devotees can take bodies of even of asuras, rakshasas, and you know, what to think of demigods. So a devotee may have the body of Indra, and some Vaikuntha devotee may be playing the role of Indra. And actually, the original Indra, the prototype of Indra, is there in Vaikuntha. But he's not, he doesn't have the authority of Indra. He's not actually doing the job of Indra. He's not really Indra, because Indra is a position. Indra is not a, exactly not a particular person. There's many different people who play that role. So someone in Vaikuntha may be the original prototype. Like the creator of the role. Just like Shakespeare wrote his plays, so there was some actor who was the original Hamlet.
Yeah.
And everybody else after him, you know, is learning coming from the first actor who ever played Hamlet.
So what's the function?
To be part of the afterlife in Vaikuntha, yeah. Everybody's there, including the demigods. Even though there's no need for any demigods, but they're there. They're just glorify the Lord Narayan by being there.
Different manifestations of love.
Yes.
And this world is based on needs, and that world is based on love.
Yes.
For it.
Yes. For Krishna's, for the variety of Krishna's pleasure. So there's lots of things. There's lots of things in Krishna's pastimes and his abode that seem mundane. So what is this doing in Vaikuntha? You know, Krishna has a pet dog too.
Right. No. If it
looks like a copy, then a not necessary copy of something that's in the spiritual world.
It's
how can you say
it's now the original is in the spiritual world. It's just not functioning the way it does in the material world.
The material.
It's things. Functioning for part of the pleasure pastimes.
The material things have the perverted functions, not the spiritual.
Yes, the function of being Lord of Heaven is a perverted function. Heaven itself is a perverted concept. So to be the Lord of a perversion is in itself a perversion.
Mm-hmm. Also, I had a question. Prabhupada said, somebody asked Sri Prabhupada once and changed the last time. Prabhupada suggested that it's possible.
Okay.
Said, yes, why not?
Okay.
But he wasn't really, I mean, I didn't get the impression he was making a very didactic assertion of any sort, but
okay.
He did seem to acquiesce.
Yeah, so maybe I should be defeated on that. But I don't want to argue with Prabhupada, but I could say that you change your rasa up to the point where you reach your ultimate rasa.
Mm.
You know, you can realize it in stages. But okay, maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, anyone else
have anything about it? Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that everybody actually belongs to Goloka.
Once in the Dhamma Maharaj was giving class in Lithuania and the devotees asked that question. He said, and the answer was that if a Vaikunthavasi wants to go up to Goloka, then and he develops his desire, and he has to take birth in Braja, live in Braja for one life, and then he only.
Yes. But that doesn't, you know, but can't that be explained? That the devotee in Vaikuntha who wanted to do that, he must have had the potential.
Oh, maybe.
He must have had the seed in his heart to want to go to Goloka.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fully satisfied with being in Vaikuntha, that means you're a Vaikuntha person. You don't have any interest. But if you have, you show an interest to go somewhere else, then you've got, there's something in you to start with.
Yeah, they go
Bokumara,
remember?
Yeah.
No, when you want, I'm here to
say. So that doesn't at all contradict what Maharaj said.
Okay.
You know, but that may be what's actually behind it, is that devotee in Vaikuntha who decides he wants to change means he wasn't in his ultimate place to start with. Maybe.
What about Lakshmi? She had this frustrated desire to join the Dasiva.
Couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if she belongs in Goloka Vrindavan, then how come she can't get in?
Yeah, but she's not a separate jiva. She's not different from Srimati Radharani. Self same expansion. Just like Narayan, the same person as Krishna, so Lakshmi is the same person as Srimati Radharani.
Yeah,
when
Narayan is going to Goloka, you see that new trip to Goloka.
But Krishna tried to manifest Narayan down the street, it didn't work. His arm fell off.
Yeah.
His two arms fell off, Narayan down, 4 kilometers away.
The book you're talking about, is it Krishna's Anita or what is it?
I don't remember.
I remember one time Indra quoted something that, according to Krishna's Anita, that every jiva has the potentiality to brush bhakti.
Yeah, there is some such statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But there's also a statement from Prabhupada that not all of us in ISKCON are meant to attain Radha Krishna. Some of us are Vaikuntha devotees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those statements are there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of us are meant to stay in the material forever. That is not, that's nonsense.
Our friend Pushti
Margiya
saying,
Nityabhada. Well, the Maggais also, yeah. So we don't believe in Nityabhada.
I always understood that the prophet said that some of us might be from that point of view. But where does prophet say that? Because now I'm getting, you hear all this new stuff that I never used to hear.
I don't know, you can check the folio and you know, if you want to check and see, maybe we should straighten this out.
Well, I
don't
think you can straighten
it out.
I think it's kind of
well, maybe I should be careful about making statements about it then, just to stay out of the country.
If I may have an anomaly, I think, well, they kind of first the issue. He's talking about hierarchy, tatanya, and he says just as there's in the material world, there is in the spiritual world. I'm wondering if there's anything you know what he said explicitly about this issue of, you know, some people are simply kimoyo and yes or whatever, and some people are, you know.
But that's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. It's not a hierarchy that some people can never go to the spiritual world. Everyone's going to go there, but when you go there, you're going to have a certain position. There's only one person at the top, and everybody else is connected to that person through a hierarchy. Yes.
Yeah. Because he don't get chance to get naughty things.
Yes, yes, yes. Hierarchy is there. Everybody's subordinate to somebody, and then somebody's got somebody support. You know, the Yukteswaris, you know, and her maid servants, and then it goes down through all the different lessons.
Yeah, but the hierarchy doesn't mean that your position within that hierarchy is eternally here. In the material world.
No, it's spiritual. We're not stuck in the material. No one's permanently stuck in the material world unless he wants to be. Our real place, definitely, I don't think there's any controversy with us in this sampradaya, any question that everybody belongs in the spiritual world. Mm. No, that I think is undoubtable among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
But Madhva's and Madhva say otherwise, too?
They say otherwise. Madhva's definitely, Madhva himself, I know he says in his own books. It is Nitya Bhattas.
He's quoting chapter 16, I think, about that, those verses.
Was Ajatasattu going to hell forever, he seems to talk about. So they take that to mean there are eternal hells. And then he quotes Baladeva Dibhushan's commentary on that verse to say that we also accept that there are eternal hells.
Sharma does.
Yes. Hi, Krishna.
And John.
Oh,
yeah, let me just quickly. Yeah. Just, you can contact the clock people again. I think what we should do, just to take a minute, for the clock, is better we make that chip ourselves, that we find out how to make it. So if you could ask them, tell them we want to do that. We want to produce the chip ourselves, and then they can put it in the clock. We have to find out from them what kind of chip they need. You know, it's a chip, it's a computer chip. What kind of chip exactly is it? And if they'll tell us where they get it made, then we can pursue that. Maybe they don't want to tell us, but you can try to get that information.
I will ask him to contact you. He will contact you.
You know better? Dermot Prabhu, because he's more expert. He's more expert on computer things, that he can talk to them.
Is he having telephone?
No, the telephone's broken right now. We can wait until the telephone.
I will give him telephone number after the person.
Okay, I'll talk to Dermot Prabhu about it. Okay.
Maybe it's we
need another 5 liters of money for this. We need distilled water, 5 liters.
We'll go back, distilled water.
Yeah, again, same, I suppose, you
know? 5 liters, I agree.
So is it possible to get somebody with you? put a regulator on the fan?
Yeah, the regulator doesn't work. You only get one high speed.
This regulator is not working properly.
So it should be replaced, fixed or replaced?
High speed or no speed?
I opened, and it's inside.
So we can replace them.
It's actually it's connected that it's either full speed or nothing. It is
right.
The inside everything is completely full.
But we can put a different regulator, right?
Yeah, this one. Yes.
We don't have an extra regulator, do we? Okay, get a regulator and get it installed. A new one. I did.
When can we get the regulator for the fan?
He's going to do it today, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the only assignment he has right now.
That's not hard to do.
No, they're in the bazaar.
The moment plumber when we come into the shop, he will be coming.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. You do, but it's a 20-minute job.
And it's so very cold.
And we didn't turn off.